We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are back on the Yinz No Ball podcast. I am John Ledyard. With me is Brad Spielberger. And the Steelers have not made any big moves at all, really, in the last 2 days, Brad. I'm not sure what to do with myself. It feels weird after the moves we've had over the past week.
We both know you're going to head out of town, and then they're going to make a bunch of splashes right when you're, like, taking off in the airplane. It's gonna go down. The Wi-Fi is not going to work. We'll see. I think there are some things percolating. Obviously, we'll get into some of the things that are being tweeted about. We have some intel of our own there as well. I don't think anything is imminent at this point, but yeah, we'll get into it. And full transparency, if I'm looking down on the Zoom, I am watching Caleb Williams Pro Day in the background. Just full transparency, but I'm paying attention, I promise.
Yes, let me. I was gonna say that is your future quarterback. So I understand that, but I was wondering actually if he was going to work out. I was like, you know what? He seems the kind of guy, at least, not this isn't a rip, but just like that would say to the Bears, hey, you're taking me, right? So. Like, do you care about this? Like, do you care if I work out? And if they're like, no, we don't care. Like, don't risk, you know, the minor chance of injury or whatever. And like, he was like, all right, cool. But I guess he's working out. So I hopefully that workout goes well. I'm sure there will. Most seem to. We wanted to start by talking about the wide receiver situation, right? There's been a lot of buzz about this. Jerry Dulac, who, you know, he's working through it this offseason. He's tweeting through it. He's reporting through it this offseason. But he went on Rich Eisen's show and he said that, he believes that it could be a bigger fish than Mike Williams that the Steelers are chasing, which Mike Williams is off the table now, signed with the Jets, as we kind of projected he would. He said it could be even a bigger fish than Mike Williams that the Steelers are chasing this offseason at wide receiver. And that he's not saying it will happen, but he's just saying it could. Keep your eyes open. Like, they're in play for one of those types of moves. So I went through the list and just kind of figure out who this could be, Brad. And I know you were kind of on the cusp of all these, who's actually available, who could be out there that's available. What does the list look like right now of potential people that Dulac could be referring to? We're not going to assume he's right. We're just thinking about this. It's been more than just him. There's been buzz about the Steelers being out there for wide receivers now from a couple of places. Like, they're looking, and that makes sense given where they're at. So what is kind of the pool of players that we're drawing from here?
Yeah, I think the quick thing, yeah, we're definitely not going to assume he's right. The first thing is, like, if you look at just free agents, there's no one. Like, Mike Williams was the best, I think, remaining free agent available. Obviously, there's, like, name recognition with a guy like an Odell Beckham Jr., but I think you and I would probably agree, and of course, we're not doctors, but Mike Williams probably was the best unsigned player at the position. Also, I think we would agree, probably a good fit with Russell Wilson as a big body contested catch player. You know, fits what he does or wins in the ways that Russell Wilson also wins. So, to me, it's, okay, then who are the trade candidates available? Who are the guys that potentially could be on the market? I don't really buy the Stephon Diggs buzz at all, really. Contractually, it's kind of a disaster for Buffalo to get out of it. Yeah. I also just do think some things have been overblown. It's not rosy. It's not perfect. I think that's fair to say. But I don't think that the Bills are dying to get out of that deal or that Diggs is a malcontent and causing problems. I don't get that vibe, really. So to me, it's San Francisco. Like, it is one of the two wide receivers in either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. If I had to guess, the Niners would rather move Deebo Samuel for a couple of reasons. Obviously, A, they already paid him. B, I love Deebo. His game and the way he wins is not really going to age super well in the NFL. It's a guy that takes a ton of hits in the open field. He runs hard. He seeks out contact. It's awesome. I love it. Not a game that you're sitting there saying, oh, this guy's going to play into his early, mid-30s, like a Keenan Allen or something like that. Shout out the Bears again. So I think that's who they'd like to move. However, That might be tough with his contract as well. Signed a 3-year extension for about $70 million. We're only a year into that deal now, and a new year of that deal. And it's just going to be a lot to take on for San Fran if they try to go that route on their salary cap. Obviously, cash-wise, it would be a benefit, but
This year, right? Next year, it's more doable.
yeah, next year it's more doable for sure. As time goes on, it gets more doable. But I think that the thing is, now tying into Brandon Ayuk, you either trade him this offseason or you don't, right? He's going into his 5th-year option. You're going to lose all that value. The teams that are going out and acquire those guys, the benefit of getting that cheap year, and obviously it's not a rookie contract year, but still, the 5th-year option is less than what he's about to make on the open market or in an extension, hypothetically. There's still benefit there. So, like for example, like an AJ Brown trade, T. Higgins is not going to match that trade. And I do think AJ Brown's a better player, but also just because the Eagles did get to fold in the 4th year of his rookie deal. Whereas T. Higgins, now, if you bring him in, you're bringing him in on a $21 million franchise tag and then extending him immediately, right? So similar principle applies. So Ayuk tweeting at Mike Tomlin to me is not nothing at all. First of all, they are doppelgangers. If you put Brandon Ayuk's hair on Mike Tomlin's bald head, it looks eerily
That's
similar.
crazy.
It
I never
really
even
is
picked up on
crazy.
it. It's nuts. Brandon Ayuk looks a lot older than he is.
Exactly. If he was bald, I think he would look like Mike Tomlin. So it's not nothing also because the guy hasn't tweeted in like a year. There was already,
Right.
like he doesn't use Twitter. If he was a guy who was always chopping it up and like cracking jokes and whatever, and just saw the tweets about, oh, you look like Mike Tomlin, and kind of thought it was funny and fired off a tweet, I think it would be way less of a big deal. I think it says something that like, that happens. And so what I'll say is this. I think one of Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk will get moved to another team, maybe Pittsburgh. I'm not saying it's going to be Pittsburgh, but I'm sure the Steelers are in the mix there by day one of the draft. I think that it could be. I just referenced AJ Brown, obviously Marquise Brown, same thing. If everyone remembers that crazy first round a couple years ago where both of them got traded on, like during the first round of the draft, I think one of the two Niners will have the same thing happen in the next, what, 35 days.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So interesting, because if I'm the 49ers, I'm like trying to find a way to keep both. But the reality is with Deebo Samuel, I just don't think his body's going to hold up the way he plays, the play style. I know some people are off Deebo because he didn't play that well in the playoffs and this year. And it was like, maybe that's signs of him slowing down. And that's possible. I'm not necessarily ready to go there. I still think he could have another year, good year or two, but I don't want to take on that risk if I'm another team, especially when you have to give up an asset to do so. So what is the asset? What is the trade value maybe for a Deebo Samuel? Because I see the value he can give other teams, but I also see like there's a potential downside there. Is there, do you say 2 years left on that?
So that's
deal?
The thing is you're acquiring a 2-year, $40 million contract on Deebo, right? And when you get the added trade leverage, not saying he could be able to force an extension right away. I don't think that would happen. Kind of like a DJ Moore last year. He probably isn't getting extended this offseason either, if I had to guess. I think the Bears get 2 years of that original deal. He also signed a 3-year extension. and then they'll go back to the table. Maybe they go earlier just because the market this offseason with Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and Ayuk and Amon-Ra is going to be crazy. But anyway, you're not. I don't think you're getting – I'm not even sure you get a second. You probably could, but the thing is that the yeah. draft class is so, so strong. And like we're talking about, Debo is going to be 28 years old this year. So you're acquiring his age 28 and 29 seasons for $40 million. With him likely going to then push to get some sort of assurances, guarantees, new money, something. Think of like Jalen Ramsey last year, didn't get new money, but got, I think, like $30 million or something like that guaranteed as a part of his trade. And he went for a third and Hunter Long, the tight end. So I think it would look something like that. Debo, I think maybe you could argue has more value as of right now, just because of his position. Been a bit healthier. I know we're talking about his health and maybe the lack of durability because of how rough he plays football, but obviously Ramsey had some injuries before that. So maybe a second, I think, is where it starts. I don't see a first-round pick happening in this trade.
Yeah, it's hard to – I don't think a first-round pick is even on the table for Debo, to be honest with you, which is probably why 49ers are so hesitant. It's like, well, if we can't get a first – we're probably not getting that many second offers. Like, it's harder to gauge his value because he is still good, but he also doesn't fit everywhere. And so he is a tricky player to gauge value on, but I would be shocked if it's in the first round range, even though there's 2 years on his contract, just the price tag too, that you're in the injury risk that he is. I mean, he hasn't missed a ton of games or time, but he's left a lot of games injured. He's played a lot at less than 100%. He's had injuries to a number of different parts of his body as well. The way that he plays, he gets hit sometimes five times on a play where some guys only get hit once. That matters. He doesn't play like any other receiver in the league. And so all of that stuff, I think, will add up on him. He is one of my favorite players to watch. But if he's the receiver on the table for Pittsburgh, I'd be very cautious about how you proceed. If he's your best bet, that's who you're getting, period. You're not getting Ayuk. The 49ers aren't moving him. You know, there's been Terry McLaurin gossip out there. That wouldn't make any sense to me. If you're watching, I don't understand that. Like, you're drafting your rookie quarterback, give him a good player. But that he seems actually happy to be there for a
That's a guy who like is the franchise right now, so they'd be crazy to do that, in my opinion.
Right. I don't understand that one at all. I don't think that's gonna happen. You know, the T. Higgins thing isn't happening to Pittsburgh. Even if he does get moved, it's not gonna be to Pittsburgh. So your options maybe are limited. Maybe you don't want to take a wide receiver with that. I mean, that 20th overall pick, you could be picking the fifth or sixth best wide receiver in the class, or fifth or sixth wide receiver off the board at the very least, no matter how, depending on what your rankings are. So, I have some questions there for sure about that. But overall, there's no way, like, Debo just production wise isn't getting moved for, like, as much as I love his game, like, you're not a 632, 892 yard receiver the next 2 years. And with any type of injury risk and cost and getting moved for a first or probably even a second, maybe. I think I wouldn't surprise me if he goes for a third.
No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you, because it's just about the contract and all of the things we just talked about. Yeah, he hasn't played 70% of offensive snaps each of the last 2 years. So like we say, he's not missing a ton of games. I have him down for 15 last year, 13 the year before. Mm-hmm. But in those games, he's obviously not on the field the entire time. I have 66% of snaps last year, 59.9, so 60 the year prior, which isn't horrible. But, like you said, 630 receiving in 2022, 890 last year. Yes, he also went over 200 rushing yards in both of those seasons. Like, again, both of us are huge Debo Samuel fans. That's not a question at all. He had 12 touchdowns last year, too. But it's just, you have to think through all these components and all these elements when you bring in a player like that. I also just don't know if he's as good of a fit, you know, if it's between the two. I think Brandon Ayuk makes more sense for the Steelers for every contractual and all that reason, but also just on the field, you know, a guy that can win, you know, at every level. Not that Debo can't, but like, if you're trying to have quick outs over the middle and quick game with Debo Samuel, you don't really have quarterbacks as of right now that excel in those areas. And you have two good backs too.
Yeah, right. So I don't see that one happening, and nor do I think Con would go down that route with Debo. Now, Ayuk's a different story. This has been one of the big revelations to me, is that people don't on Twitter don't seem to realize how good Brandon Ayuk is in recent days. I've learned, and maybe some of that has to do with the 49ers just sharing the wealth offensively so much, where he's not getting targets like a Justin Jefferson is, or one of these other guys. But I mean, Brandon Ayuk to me is one of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL. He is 26 years old. Guys like that do not hit free agency ever. And so if you want a guy like this that is proven, you need to trade for him. I love his tape. I had two back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in an offense where there's tons of other mouths to feed. That kind of production is very impressive to me. Gets open at one of the highest rates in the league, can make contested catches, awesome after the catch. There's like nothing missing from his game other than the fact that he isn't the biggest receiver in the world, but he's still plenty big, plenty strong. Amazing blocker. We haven't even mentioned that. Team first dude for sure. I love the package you're getting with Ayuk. Now, it's 1 year, so you do have to pay him. That has typically driven down value. But for a guy who's pretty undisputed top of his game, not a lot of injury history right now with him, been awesome for two straight years, 26 years old, it feels like it's not going to be enough to drive the price down very much. I still think he's going for a first-rounder plus. What do you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, a couple of just stat things real quick, because I do think people look at it and see, I think he had like 1,100 yards last year, and I get there's guys putting up 1,500-plus, but this is a guy who, in the same offense as Debo, George Kittle, you know, Christian McCaffrey, he was third in the NFL in yards per route run last year. And my favorite stat, he was third in the NFL with 41 catches of 15-plus yards. He was 31st in targets in the entire NFL last season. So, like, the efficiency and the explosiveness and everything is insane. Like you say, he's not big, but he can still win at the goal line because his route running is as good as anyone in the league. Yeah, this is a baseline to me, an AJ Brown type of trade. That was a first and a third.
Yeah,
I think it even could maybe surpass that. We'll see. Like AJ Brown, I think every team is like, all right, this is a bona fide X. You can drop him into every single offense. The physical gifts are off the charts. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was like probably not like significant knee injuries, but I think he had arthroscopic procedures on both knees when he was in Tennessee. Like I think it was part of why Tennessee was willing to just kind of, and obviously they regret that decision every single minute. But yeah. First and a third, like the A.J. Brown trade. And obviously he, like I mentioned, was actually cheaper in the first year. I still think that is the market for Brandon Ayuk. And then I know fans are going to freak out about this, and I tweeted about it, and people freaked out about it. You're talking $30 million a year as an extension. If not at 30, it's going to get close. Look, I think Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are getting Nick Bosa money, and that was $34 million a year. And we should preface, that's a five-year deal for Bosa. Every receiver now wants to get a three-year extension. That's become the kind of the market standard. So the fewer years of control you give the team, the lower your average annual value is going to be. But even at 3 years, I'm confident saying Lamb and Jefferson comfortably exceed 30. If Ayuk agrees to four, or even if he goes three, it's going to be close to $30 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you on the contract part. First and a third, maybe more, you think?
I think that's right. Their first and the third, you know, probably just mirror that A.J. Brown trade, I think, is where it starts. Maybe a little bit better, a little bit worse. I don't think it's a two first type of deal. Those have not only just kind of gone away a little bit, but also, you know, Jalen Ramsey, who I mentioned before, he had both the second half of the fourth year of his rookie deal and the fifth year option. Like, it's just that is a huge element of just like how many cheap years can a team get, not only for having them, but also they fold that into the new deal. So Ramsey signed a five-year, $100 million extension, but the Rams got 6.5 seasons of Jalen Ramsey, who, you know, clear-cut number one corner in the NFL at the time and was arguably for a couple seasons thereafter. Like, that's massive. You know, and I will say this, too, is an important element. So you can't talk to a player you're trying to trade for about an extension until the team gives you permission. So usually what happens is teams will agree to terms for, hey, we'll take this draft compensation. You can try to figure out with the player and his agent what an extension would look like. It's funny because actually Diana Rossini tweeted this out, and I've heard the same. The amount of almost trades that happened where the two teams did agree to the compensation package, but the new team and the player could not agree on a contract, it happens like far more often than you'd think.
That might be what's happened with Snead, you think?
I've heard that could be a possibility. No question. You know, the AFC South teams, Tennessee, Indy, we've seen a bunch of reports. I think he wants more than a lot of teams are comfortable giving him. So, yeah, that's a perfect example.
I don't know if we have anything else to add on the wide receiver front. I mean, other than I think Pittsburgh's in this thing, and I think there's a possibility it happens. Cap-wise, I don't know. Do you want to get into that maybe a little bit? They can do this for sure. There's a couple different paths, I think, to doing it. There's some restructures that can be done, I believe, with some contracts. Whose is it that I'm trying to think of?
Yeah, so they would have to move some stuff around. You know, obviously when you're paying your entire quarterback room less than $5 million, that's great, and it makes things quite easy. But
and if they extend Ayuk, it gets easier, by the way. I just
right, wanna... right. So like right now you'd have the fifth-year option. I want to say it's like $15 million to bring over the option. Let me pull that up here real quick. Yeah,
I think it's Highsmith that's the easiest restructure option, if I remember correctly.
That sounds right, because they probably haven't restructured him since. Yeah, so he's a 10.7 salary, and his prorated money right now is only $3.2 million. So He's probably the first guy you go to. I think this also is a scenario where, like, depends on the player, but you probably go to the locker room or go to some of these players and be like, we'll bring in a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. You know, like, for example, like a Cam Hayward. I know he's a legend. I know he's been tweeting about, like, I'm underappreciated, all that. Hey, Cam, you're set to make 16 mil on a salary. We're trying to get you a ring. Can you drop that to 10 and we'll trade for Brandon Ayuk? Like, I think those conversations can be had, but regardless, you could restructure him normally. Obviously, TJ's salary is over $21 million. Minka's 14 and a half. You mentioned Highsmith, 10.7. All of those. And then there's some smaller ones too. So anyway, they can make it work. Not saying it'd be easy, but they could certainly make it work.
And I think they're inclined to be honest. Like that's one thing that I've been encouraged about this offseason. Although I think coaching wise, like I worry about where the bar is at with some of the decisions they make and some of the performances they're willing to settle for, a la Dan Moore and many others that still frustrate me. But from a front office perspective, and if you believe the reports from an owner's perspective, it seems like they're tired of the standard being what it's been the last couple of years, and they're pushing hard. And I think that there's message sent, even if they end up extending Tomlin, I still think there's message sent that, but you like this thing has to move forward. If it doesn't, then we're going to end up going our separate ways. Because, yeah, it hasn't been up to the Steelers standard for the last handful of years. And so this ability to push, like I expect them to be in on this wide receiver thing for till the end. I don't know whether they're going to get it or not, but and then the other question is, does Ayuk want to extend in Pittsburgh? Yeah, some people have asked that. Does he want to extend somewhere where he doesn't know who his quarterback's going to be? I think if he extends, that takes him through like a good, I mean, that's going to take him through the next, till he's 30 probably. And so that's going to be a good chunk of his career. So he's not, I mean, A, he's going to make the money. Obviously I'm sure he wants to produce, but I also think that, it's not like there's some nobody. It's not like it's Kenny Pickett and he's heard the rap around the league from Pickens and all those guys. Like, this isn't a guy you want to play with. I mean, Russ is certainly not very good, but he has won a Super Bowl. There's pedigree there. And so maybe that's the truth. Fields is also very popular amongst players. Don't know what his relationship with Ayuk might be like. So maybe that part doesn't matter. And then the Tomlin factor, this is where Tomlin is decidedly an advantage. Like, there's no question in my mind. As much as I have my foibles with Tomlin, like the fact that he's somebody the players want to play for. And so extending there to play for a guy like that, him talking you into that extension, like that is an asset. The Steelers have to lean into that because there's other things with Tomlin that he doesn't bring to the table. But his likability and the players' desire to play for him. Somebody was on a show the other day, I forget who it was, and they said, like, I don't think there's a player in the league that doesn't want to play for Mike Tomlin. And I was like, yeah, that's how they feel about him. So you lean into that as much as you can, as long as he's your head coach if you're Pittsburgh. And this is a situation where already he's tweeting at him, like you could be seeing that happen again. So yeah, there'll be players. It's funny, Brad. There's actually a decent number of teams that still need a wide receiver, as much as there's been some movement and all this buzz, and we're about to enter this draft, and it's obviously pretty exciting. But look at how many teams in the top 10 need a wide receiver, like need one or need two. There's a lot. Now, will they trade one of those picks, a top 10 pick in a class like this, for Brandon Ayuk? That gets a little more interesting to me. That's a steep price. That's different than 20. Where AJ Brown was late
He's
teens,
18. Yeah,
18. That's
18.
what I thought. Yeah,
Yeah.
and Brown, Marquise Brown was close to the same
25.
range, 25.
25. It
Okay, yeah.
became Tyler Linderbaum. Yeah. So yeah, later picks for sure. And Treylon Burks, good player or good prospect, was not of the caliber of the guys that we're talking about in the top 20 of this draft. I mean, maybe he was, I don't know, I was never the biggest fan. Anyway, whole separate conversation. I think the top 10 thing, I thought the Jets before Mike Williams, maybe they were like, F it, let's just take a massive swing for Aaron Rodgers. But now they sign Mike Williams, I kind of doubt it. And I don't see any other top 10 team, because if you're 4, 5, 6, Cardinals, Chargers, Giants, you just take Marvin, Malik, and Rome. So, which I think is entirely possible that happens. So I think that you're starting, trying to think about it. Like, the Broncos obviously traded Jerry Jeudy. They're sitting at 12. I don't think that still seems kind of rich. I really do think, like, late teens to 20s, where Pittsburgh sits at 20. Look, 20 would be involved. 20's gone. And next year's first is probably as well. Last thing I'll say, it doesn't really matter, especially because it's the biggest agency in the sport. But Justin Fields and Ayuk, they share an agency, not an agent, but they're both athletes first. So they probably do have a relationship of some kind. But again, I say that while also saying, like, they rep half the league. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people are undervaluing Ayuk too. Like, I get it. The NFC, they don't play Steelers that often. A lot of Steelers fans don't watch. I'm not hating on that at all. I don't think fans should have the expectation of knowing everything about these players the way that people like you and I, who watch a ton of tape and ton of ball and look at stats and all this stuff, like, just like religiously. Like, I don't know that people should necessarily have that level of knowledge. So I'm not getting into the whole negative discourse around it or anything like that. I understand where people might not be as aware of his game, but he's considered one of the best wide receivers in the league across the league, and he's going to get paid like it. And there's a number of teams that would pay him like it if they get the opportunity to trade for him. To me, the bigger question is not necessarily his skill set and whether he's good or not. Big question is San Francisco. Like, are they willing to part with him given the fact that they're in a win now window, quarterback on the deal that he's on, and they have the ability to do this? It's uncomfortable for sure. It's going to lead to some tough decisions down the road, for sure. But And you're probably going to end up trading Debo next offseason, where there'll be 1 year left on his contract, and his value probably is going to be, at that point, we could be into day three picks to move Debo, I guess, because there won't be as much term on his contract.
The funny thing, the Niners, I think the biggest variable now is, do they fall in love with the player that they think will be a receiver, I should say, that will be there at 31, which ironically is I think where they took Ayuk in the first place. Maybe they traded up. I think they were at 31, they traded up. But anyway, and there could be, again, finding a Brandon Ayuk is a very, very difficult thing to do. He is, we both agree, a top 10 receiver in the league, but the prospects are crazy. So you can sit there at 31 and get like an AD Mitchell out of Texas or something. That's just my favorite late first guy at this point. But yeah, like you're getting a very, very good prospect if you want to do that, at 31.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll see what they end up doing. The other part of the argument is, oh, they could just stay at 20 and get Brian Thomas or something like that. First of all, Brian Thomas is very talented, but he is very raw, and he is not Brandon Ayuk as Brandon Ayuk currently exists. Could he become that? Maybe you say it's in his wheelhouse, but again, we are getting really into, and I tweeted this the other day, it could even be a boat type of situation with some of these and some of this analysis where you were talking about getting a sure thing at 26 years old who can be good for the next 5, 6 years for your team versus a roll of the dice, to be honest. That's how raw Thomas is. That's how raw Adonai Mitchell is. So for people who want them, there is a lot of question marks still. And there's also the biggest question mark is, are they even going to be on the board when the Steelers pick? Like, I don't know that they are. Like, I don't know that both are for sure. I don't know that Thomas is going to be, but so three receivers are probably going in the top 10. And that is going to make it like there are going to be an increase in the desire to draft one in those teens. And I think that somebody's going to end up reaching for somebody like that who has those kind of tools and traits. So I definitely feel way more comfortable going the IU route than I would drafting these guys. I just did a full two episodes over on Audibles and Analytics. The first part's free for people so they can listen to me talk about Mitchell and Thomas. If you subscribe over in Audibles and Analytics, you can check that out. And we did part two, all wide receiver rankings, Ollie Connolly and I, 2024 NFL draft wide receiver rankings. We went through pretty in depth with strengths and weaknesses of this class, and I love the top three. They're all going to be gone. After that, there's players I certainly like. There's nobody I think is going to become a Brandon Ayuk at the next level. Like, I would be shocked. I would be surprised if that happens. And maybe it does happen with one of them, but you can't, like, there's not, you can't be confident who that is. And there's something about the uncertainty of knowing you're taking a player who is awesome in the NFL right now, for sure. Like, there's a confidence in that that's very much worth that caliber of a pick, which is what I'm trying to convey to fans at this point. So cool.
Yeah, I
Anything
mean,
else on the wide receiver situation? You go ahead.
I don't think Brian Thomas will be there at 20, frankly. I really
Yeah,
don't. You run
I
a
don't either.
4.33 40 at 6.4, like you're not going to be there.
No, I completely agree with you. I think he is gone at that point. Worthy is the type that one team could fall in love with. I don't have him anywhere near that range, but
Right, but
Mitchell,
speed.
yeah, speed. Yeah, exactly. Those guys, somebody always feels like they are a draft the pure speed guy, but we'll
Oh, yeah.
see where he ends up coming off the board. Mitchell is just an enigma, which makes him perfect for the Steelers in a lot of ways because
I do love his game though. He's like I said, he's my favorite that next crop of players.
love his
But
game,
anyway,
man. I
yeah, like
wish
you
he
said though,
played his game hard more than half the time.
which I've heard is yeah a concern, like not character red flag, just like red effort red flags at times, which
Can they really bring another guy like that in? Like, they just traded Diontae Johnson, who I don't even think was a problem in that regard, but they
right.
traded him because they believed in Pickens' upside and they didn't feel like they could have two guys like that. But I mean, you're already gonna have Pickens. I just don't think it. I know ordinarily, if it were Colbert, we would be like, oh yeah, he doesn't care about any of that stuff. I just don't think Khan's gonna take a second guy like that. I think that would surprise me.
Not at 20 either. Like Pickens, they took in the 50s because they probably were sitting there like, if he falls to us, we'll do it because he had the same issues, right? So just taking some plays off at times, but and I, some other stuff too, the torn ACL, whatnot. But yeah, it was like, all right, at a certain point for the certain price, we'll take the gamble. I don't think you do that at 20, as much as I love the player on the field. So yeah, no, I'm with you there. And again, they're going to have options at 51 as well this year. But like you're saying, we all love prospects. We all love the mystery box of what a guy could become. I'll say this: even Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Dunze becoming Brandon Ayuk in the NFL is still a 90th percentile outcome for those guys. Like, it is. That's like, people freak out when they hear that. It's a fact. Like, it's what he's become is an elite player at the position.
Right. And that just doesn't happen that often. Like, there's so many guys we think are sure things every year, and you just don't get there. So the draft, as much as we like it, it's a crapshoot. It is in a lot of ways. Like, I've learned that over the years. Like, you just can't be so sure that you're going to be right about a player, because the percentages, the outcomes tell us that, like, more often than not, you end up wrong or not reaching the level that they quite thought that player would reach. There was a situation. Dante Jackson got his contract reduced a little bit. You want to talk about the cap implications of that one a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So we, without any intel, we did talk in the pod. We expected that to happen, and I'm glad it did. You know, there was no guarantee it was going to happen, but I think it kind of needed to for me to like that trade. We obviously, neither of us loved it, because Deontay is a good player, but he was scheduled to make, I want to say, 10.5, maybe $10.6 million. That number is now 6, which is a good chunk. It's a good pay cut, and I have no issue in this corner market in free agency. Like, we don't love Dante Jackson either, but I'll go so far as to say, like, he would have been one of the three or four best free agent corners available, especially once we hear about some of the injury stuff. Like, I like Kendall Fuller a lot, but his Miami Dolphins contract, there's some knee stuff there, and the contract reflects that undoubtedly. I like Chidobe Awuzie, but tore his ACL and signed a very strong deal. So anyway, like, that is the thing to me, is you have to also look at, you know, your guy Sean Murphy Bunting signing for 3 years, 25.5 mil. He was the best corner available under the age of 28, which I know you're gonna hear that and be like, there's no way. It's true. That's an objective fact. So I like the Jackson deal. Yeah, drop the number down about 4.5 mil. I have no issue with 6 million for a season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was huge that they were able to do that. It was funny that it was announced so far after the trade happened, but it was big, because now they actually, okay, now there's some semblance of sense to it. There's a process there that actually makes sense, which I appreciate them getting to. Like, I wouldn't have done the trade. I think I've been clear about that. I mean, there obviously could be more moves coming that make this worthwhile, but when you did the trade, you didn't know whether those moves were going to happen or not. You were going to be in on things like Ayuk, but you have no idea if that, still, we don't know if that's going to happen or not. So you're rolling the dice there, which I think is risky. It could work out well. We'll see. But I do think this helps a lot. And it seems like they feel like they've got their two starting corners. I know I've watched Dante Jackson. I would love to have somebody compete for him with him. I'd say that it does not seem like they're very locked in on corner with this first round pick. It does not seem like they're very locked in on corner in terms of a big trade. They've not been mentioned in the Snead stuff early on. There were some reports. I don't know if I really trust any of those sources that are reporting those things. But now it seems like they have not been mentioned in those sweepstakes at all to this point. So yeah, I think that they feel pretty settled there. They still do not have a nickel corner. They don't have any backup corners on this team. So they are very destitute at that position, and we'll see if they continue to address that. Obviously, the front seven feels like they've got it where they want it to be after bringing back Monty Adams, losing Armon Watts. You know, I was sad about that. I think Armon Watts played really well last year. I would have prioritized keeping him. It seems like Ogunjobi is sticking around now. Would that be your read on it? It doesn't seem, it would be pretty unusual to cut him. Now, I guess you could after the draft if for some reason you took one, but it seems like it'd be past the time where it makes sense.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We'll get the stuff pre-camp, depending on how the draft goes. I would guess not outright cut. You get the like pay cut stuff. Hey, we hate to do this to you. Obviously, we would have loved to let you go in March before free agency started, but you know, County Benton fell to our lap and whatever. Like, can you drop your compensation down? That does happen across the league for sure. But yeah, in terms of getting outright cut, I highly doubt it. I will say on the nickel corner market, there are still some names out there. No one that's like going to excite you, but that has been a slow moving market so far. I was talking to an agent and one of the guys before the show, just trying to like map teams that need it and where they could land. And I certainly did mention the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. What else did we say we want to talk about on today's show? Said who should start a quarterback? Oh, the center thing. We
Oh
want to talk.
yes, the
Maybe we'll
center
just
thing.
do center. Let's just tackle that maybe, and then we'll save the this quarterback con. We'll let people enjoy a couple more days without quarterback controversy, maybe, and we'll talk about that next week. But the center situation, JPJ is getting mocked in two of the Steelers in a lot of first rounds, and there's this idea that the Steelers don't have a center on the roster. So, and that is a huge concern. I definitely don't want to downplay that, like the fact that you don't have one at this point in the game when there's nobody really good that's available. That is a concern. I don't know whether they're going to take one in the first round or not still. I mean, I know on paper it makes a lot of sense. Powers Johnson is a really good player. I loved his tape. I have to probably watch another game or two on him, but I think I'll have a first round grade on him. I think he's the type of player you take there. I just don't know if value wise it's where you want to go in the first round, especially when the Steelers have their sights. Seems like they've had a lot of visits, conversations. They have clear needs at tackle and wide out. And in this class, it seems like that's where you go for the value at number 20.
Yeah, I think it'd be tough with both the talent available and just the premium position element to not go tackle a receiver. I tweeted about it. Someone mentioned like the earliest a center's ever gone, at least in recent history, is 18 overall, and that was like Frank Ragnow and somebody else. I forget who it
Where'd
was.
Bradbury go?
Bradbury was, I think, also 18. I think he was also
Okay,
18,
yeah.
and that was not a great draft pick.
No. I loved him though.
You
I
loved
will
him?
take the L on that. I was a big Bradbury fan, and it just, I love the run game stuff. That stuff's still been pretty good. Like that, the
Oh, yeah.
specific stuff that I loved, but then he can't, he has no ability to do anything other than wide zone, second level stuff. So, and then pass protection's been, I mean, it's improved, but it's still not good. Like,
It's
let's
gotten
be honest.
better. Yeah, it's still not pretty. Yeah, he was also 18th overall. And then Tyler Linderbaum, you know, was touted as a generational center prospect, maybe the greatest center prospect ever. And there are the, you know, the arm length, like there are guys you talk to centers and they say teams tell them they're center only. Like I think JPJ could play guard if necessary, and that'll boost your value. But anyway, he went 25th overall, and he coming out of Iowa was talked about as the greatest center prospect, you know, since sliced bread. So I just think on pure positional value alone, like maybe they do it. I'm not gonna say it's a bad pick. He's a good player, but it would not be, in my opinion, the best use of that, you know, premium resource when the tackle class and the receiver class are both elite and you have glaring needs at both positions, both short and long term. It just wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think they're more likely to go tackler. And I could see it just because you want to establish the culture on your O-line and there's like it's a missing piece. There's guys, but there is a good center draft and you got to lean into that. And why they didn't make a move at the position is really strange to me. Like we don't think there's nothing that's who's even out there, Connor Williams and the injury recovery from but there's like not much out there in terms of starting caliber players at this point.
That's what's weird to me too, is it was a super deep free agent class and
Yeah.
even included guys that were connected to Arthur Smith. You know, Aaron Brewer got a strong deal from Miami. Unfortunately for Connor Williams, there was a tweet that came out. I think Drew Rosenhaus himself, who reps him, talked about it to somebody else, like, we're gonna take our time, we're still recovering, like he's not planning on signing anywhere anytime soon. Hope he doesn't retire or anything like that, but it's, I think he already tore an ACL before this most recent one as well. It's very unfortunate because I can tell you, I actually talked to a high-ranking personnel guy at the combine who, like, he almost sounded distraught. He was like, yeah, man, Connor Williams was really rolling. And it was like long pause, and then that knee, man. Like you could tell, like he was probably gonna be like their top free agent target or one of them. Because he's an awesome player. But yeah, so you can't really rely on that. I feel like you're just given the injury concerns there. And frankly, like having a center for Russell Wilson and Justin Fields to work with as soon as possible is probably a pretty good thing, or at least they're not taking snaps under center right now. But anyway, it's interesting to me. Like Evan Brown signed elsewhere; he's in Arizona now for like a $2.5 million deal. He's a fine player, or at least a stopgap. But like Coleman
Your
Shelton
guy
with the
Coleman
Bears,
Shelton.
Yeah, my guy Cole Michelle went to the Bears. Like, again, a guy that is a starting caliber center, has been for years now, also has played guard too. They just, and he was 1 year, $3 million. So I'm just kind of curious why they weren't in on some of those deals.
Because the draft is good at center, but I mean, you're projecting some guys probably to move to center. Like, does a Graham Barton move? Does a Haynes move? Phil Haynes from UConn? Like, do those guys move to center? I actually would have to look and remind myself whether they've snapped before in their lives. I know some of them at the Senior Bowl, some of them did. But because right now, Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier are kind of, I mean, Cedric Van Praan, it feels like his stock has fallen off a good bit to this point. Just based on everywhere you look, Bo Limmer coming into the year, I think was really hyped. That's fallen off. I watched him at the Senior Bowl. No, thank you. And then after that, guys who are actually centers at this point, like, seems like they've fallen well down the board. So you really are projecting some guys to move, and some guys may move and it may be fine. And they, you know, Christian Haynes may move and he may be completely fine, after that, a move like that. But it does feel like it is sort of those two right now at center. And you're putting, if you're not going to take Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round, you are putting a lot of eggs in the basket of, oh, one of these guys will be here in the second round when we pick. You're not picking that early in the second round. Like, it just, if you don't get either of the top two guys at center, you're projecting somebody to move there. What are you doing? What's your plan at center? Because, like, Mason Cole's still out there, but come on, like, you can't be serious here. Like, this is a mess.
And John, there's no recent history, correct me if I'm wrong, of the Steelers taking a guy on day two that was not a center and putting him at center, and it was an abject disaster. That hasn't happened recently at all, has it?
Yeah, well, I'd have to think about that because I've blocked some recent drafts from my memory at this point. But
so they should. Yeah. I hope they learned their lesson in that instance, because that was like, you know, that, you know, we're talking about Kendrick Green, obviously. That didn't go too well.
No, it didn't go well at all. It was a disaster, and I'm a little worried at this point that they really just haven't even addressed it. Seems there's been some really encouraging things about this offseason, then some super strange things, like just not really, like, still don't have a nickel corner on this team. That's kind of crazy to me. Like, they still don't have a center. Like, there's things like that where I'm just like, everybody fills these spots, like, sooner or later. And now you've just kind of sat out. You don't have anybody on your roster. I mean, you maybe project Herbig there to be a backup at some point, but who's your starter? Like, you know, so yeah, that is where I get really kind of confused about the mismatching pieces too, schematically, the coaching to the players, to the run game, like all of those things. Like, I'm kind of fascinated. It's been definitely not a boring offseason. I don't think it'll be a boring next month either for the Steelers. I think they'll be active, but there are still some very clear holes here. And it's like, okay, are you pushing in to compete and try and get over this hump, not just make the playoffs, but win playoff games? Because, like, to me, I note the aggression, but you're not there yet. Like, you need some big pieces if you're going to do that. And you've got some clear holes on your roster that need filling right now. So, yeah, obviously just improving the quarterback room some helps, but I still think this team is not quite where they need to be, like, a team that actually competes to win a playoff game. Like, I would be surprised if they were a team, if they won a playoff game as they're currently constructed. We obviously still have some time to go.
It is a little weird, though, right? Because also sometimes I think people, when they see free agency happen, like, it's the first wave, you've guys signing $100 million contracts, and then you have teams signing core special teamers or depth, like, because that matters. And, like, they want to just check those boxes and just not worry about it anymore. And again, I'm less concerned about nickel. There's a bunch of names out there. The center thing to me, yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. You're right, there are a bunch of names out there, but are anybody that's good? Because no. They've really struggled with that, yeah.
No, definitely know that's going to, like I said, light the world on fire. But still, like, there's bodies. At center, I couldn't tell off the top of my head, like, a guy. Like, Evan Brown was the last.
Is Mason Cole the best available center right now?
He might be. Yeah, no.
There's nobody available.
He might be. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody on your free agency boards is on a new team, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Correct. So.
I don't know what the plan is here.
You know, we learn what the NFL thinks. Like I mentioned, the bottom couple guys on the list signed one-year flyers for $2-3 million. So, if we're talking about the next tier of player, we're like, all right, you're going to sign a veteran minimum center to work with a new, you know, new pair of quarterbacks. So anyway, we'll see. The rookie thing, like you said, the mock drafts having centers almost makes sense, but I think you and I agree. I don't really see it.
Yeah. Available players. Okay. Cody White here. Did he retire?
He did not retire. He guess he could kick back inside.
He's been a guard though, right?
He's been mostly a guard. And when he was a center, he couldn't snap. It was kind of a disaster.
Yeah. That's our right option. Connor Williams with his injury. I mean, maybe you could see it being, we don't even know if he's going to be available week one or whatever. Did Brian Allen sign anywhere?
No, but I think he's medically similar to Connor Williams.
Connor Williams. Okay. Mason Cole's out there. Yeah. Lucas Patrick. How much did he even snap in Chicago?
You don't want Lucas Patrick. Just move on. Next name.
Tyler Shatley, he's 32. I don't.
Yeah. I guess there could be some trade names like Mitch Morse going to Buffalo. I mean, again, he's like Luke Fortner has been a disaster, but like he is a third round pick at center. Like that could be their angle. Like Connor McGovern with the Jets. Connor McGovern with the Jets is super washed, but you know, again, you got Will Clapp if you want to get a nice meme player in there. Who started last year for the Chargers once they lost what's his name? But
yeah, they lost Lindsey.
Yeah, Nick Gates got cut from the Commanders. Injuries also have been kind of a nightmare for him. So yeah, like there's names, but I'm looking at this list now. Yeah,
the Ohio State bus duo, Billy Price and Pat Elflein.
Yeah, Billy Price trying to set a record for teams, you know, roster he's been on in the last 3 years. Yeah, they could do it, but it's not a solution. Yeah.
None of these are even close to options.
These are borderline. These are borderline backup centers.
Yeah, right. Like that. Exactly right. That's the question. Like, can they be backups for a team?
Yeah, like you're happy if they're a backup center.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Because Bozeman just signed Chargers.
Like, Chargers, good little deal. Yeah. Yep.
It's bleak. I don't know what they do at this position, but so I can't rule it out for the first round just because the need is so great and I don't see any way of it getting patched up before the draft. That's the only reason I don't rule it out. In a vacuum, I would say like this is not a position you draft this high. I don't think the Steelers will draft that high or care about it this much, but just because right now the need is so significant, like you hate to have to do that. That's why you want to fill holes with capable veterans before the draft, because you don't want to have to do things like that. And we'll see if they do end up having to do it. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but that's the situation they find themselves in. And obviously they brought Morris in. They would have loved to sign him. I think it would have been the ideal look, because I think they're going to try and draft center in the first two picks either way. But you almost have to, with the way this is right now, you almost have to draft a center in your first or second round pick. And if you don't do it in your first, which probably all the centers will be there in the first, if you don't do it with your first round pick, you run the risk of two centers coming off the board and being screwed in the second round.
All right, real quick, I'm going to call my shot now that I'm looking at over the cap. All right, the best solution, in my opinion, the Cardinals now have four centers on their roster. So Hjalti Froholt, however you say that name, former Patriot, started a bunch for them last year. They re-signed Tristan Colon, who's a swing interior guy. I actually put him on my top 200. I liked his tape a little bit. And then they added, as I mentioned, Evan Brown from the Seahawks, and then Keith Ismail is also on the roster. So they have four. No team carries four centers. Go make a trade for Tristan Colon or Hjalti Froholt.
A trade?
Well, yeah. I mean, for like you swap 2026 sevenths, you know.
Can they just wait until they cut one of these guys?
Yeah, you just wait to cut him. But again, you want to get the guy in there. They're not going to get cut till August, and then you're going through training camp, and Russell's catching, you know, Russell's hiking the ball from a jugs machine. Like, come on now.
What a mess. Yeah, it's going to be Herbig right now, the way it's set up. And because if they just bring in a rookie, they're not going to hand him the job. So it's going to be a rookie versus Nate Herbig to start.
We'll save this for another pod. You're obviously, you know, football in the trenches in particular way more than me. And I actually did talk to about three or four current and former players about this. The moving offensive linemen around and just thinking it's fine. I'm not a ball knower. I played until junior high. It drives me nuts. I've seen so few examples of it actually working, particularly when you switch sides, is what I was told by these guys. Like left guard to left tackle, right guard to right tackle, fine. When you move from like right guard to left guard, which obviously was the Dotson thing, or you know, you have to snap now and get used to the timing of that, it doesn't work. there's examples, but like, I don't know, drives me insane anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think what's happened with Broderick Jones is a good idea? Is that what you're saying?
That was unrelated to my comment, but I also agree with that.
No, I completely agree with you. It's very challenging. I mean, some guys do it seamlessly, but even Tristan Wirfs was unbelievable this past season, but he was better at right tackle even than when he moved to left, and he was still amazing. Like the bar for some guys is obviously way higher, but he was just the best right tackle, one of the best right tackles I've ever seen in pass protection before that. So, I do think it's difficult for everybody to some degree, for sure. So cool. We will save the quarterback conversation for another podcast. Then we wanted to get to these notes here. And I'll be gone the next couple of days. If anything breaks, we'll see how important it is and see what we're capable of. But then look for us at some point next week. It might be a little bit later in the week because I'll be traveling. I'll be gone until Tuesday and traveling a little bit on Wednesday, but we'll try to get you at least one pod next week. And depending on what happens, maybe two. So look for us then. But as always, appreciate y'all. Thanks for the ratings, reviews, and all the good love and everything like that. Please. Yeah. If you're the person who left us that one star, I still haven't heard from you. So I'm very curious. I just want you to put us a good rip session, put us on blast, roast us real good. And I want to read it on the pod. That's all I'm asking. So slide into my DMs and make that happen, please. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Yinz Snowball podcast.